chapter 22, verses 24 to 27, the other passage that we're looking at this morning. A dispute arose among them as to which of them would be considered the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Let's pray together. Our Lord, we come to you this morning grateful that you came to serve. And you are among us now by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to hear from you, Lord, as we continue in worship now by again considering your word. Help us to follow your model, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So long before there were Catholics and Protestants, there's a man by the name of Patrick. And Patrick was from the area that we would call England today. He was off with his family on a vacation. And he was attacked. Their family was attacked by Irish pirates. And the people of Ireland were known as barbarians in the day. They were a rough bunch back then. A good 1,500 years ago or so. And he was captured, and he was taken off as a slave. And for 6 years, Patrick, who was 16 years old at the time when he began this, was a slave in an Irish home. And then he heard what he felt was the voice of the Lord in the night. And he said, "You can get out of here. You can escape." And so he went out the back, and he found a ship, and he found his way home. And you think that he would have just stayed home. But the Lord spoke to him again about going back to Ireland, where there were very few, if any, Christians at the time. He went to that area, which was a rough area of the world at the time. And he was robbed, and he was attacked, and he was imprisoned because they didn't appreciate him coming back to this area that he had escaped from. But he felt called to share Jesus with them. And he did. He'd come back to serve. And it's because of St. Patrick that scores and scores and hundreds and thousands of people came to Jesus in that time. It's because of Pat, and that's why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day today. Because Patrick did what we don't do very easily. He went back as a servant. He went back to serve and to serve this area that had not been of service, good service to him. We tend to center life around ourselves, around our own needs, around our own families, around our own careers, around our own churches, around our own areas of the world, instead of going to serve. And that's what Christ calls us to here. Luke presented a Christ who was very attractive, not because he came as a king to boss everybody around, but as a king who came to serve. You see, Luke was a doctor, of course. And Luke would have cared for people in need. And it's interesting as we go to the very beginning of Luke, where we get most of the narratives about Jesus' birth. It's where we get our Christmas passages. Luke, from the very beginning, he starts talking about some of the younger, poorer women in that day. So Mary was the one whom an angel appeared to and who heard the voice of God saying that she would give birth to the Messiah. And then Elizabeth, her older cousin, a woman who hadn't had a child, and even in her later years, in a day when that was very important to women. And so she is the one who gives birth to John the Baptist. And then there's Anna and Simeon in the temple. An old woman, an old man, not married, but there hanging out in the temple and just praying and asking the Lord to come and rescue his people. And rescue he does, because Jesus comes. And Jesus then comes and he touches lepers. And he touches quadriplegics and heals them. And he brings a little girl back to life, probably a middle school girl. He heals a girl that is the daughter of an enemy soldier who was occupying that area. He cared for people in need. He didn't come to serve his own needs. He established his kingdom, but in a way that was so attractive, because he established his kingdom by serving the people, the needy people of this planet who he came to live among. And he's the one that we remember at this season of the year. We remember him at this season of the year all around the world and across the ages. But as we move toward Easter, we begin to think about what he was like and how he came to serve us in a way that we find so unnatural, so unlike the way that we live on our own. But the wonderful thing about it is that he came and he served us. He gave his life for us in his service. And then he comes and he lives within us by his Spirit. And then he calls us then to repent of our self-centeredness and then to live lives by his Spirit, by his grace, where he lives through us and serves the world around us. You see, the way that it usually is, it's a world really where big shots are the ones in charge. When we were raising our kids, one of the little phrases that they started using when they would get into arguments was, "You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me." And that became something that we use in our home. And even the little ones would say to the big ones, "You're not the boss of me." And they weren't the boss of them. They thought they were. And sometimes it was the other way around. And they were not the bosses of each other. That's not the way that a home works. But we certainly know what that's like in life. And that's what Jesus, what was going on with the disciples at the Lord's table. Jesus has just announced his betrayer. And they start arguing about who's the boss of them. Who's in charge around here? And Jesus is about to give everything for them. And they get in an argument about who is in charge. And the truth of the matter is, we live in a world where people are in charge. And Jesus talked about their world. He said, well, the big shots, the ones that are calling the shots, are the ones that everybody else is serving. And so whether that be in the home, or whether that be at work, or whether that be in the society, they are calling the shots. They are the benefactors, so to speak, because those whom we report to, we report to, because if we're honest, it's because they can give us something that we want. And we don't like it that they're the bosses of us. But the truth of the matter is, we're all the boss of somebody. And when the tables are flipped, whether it's in a big way or in a little way, then we like it when others serve us. And Jesus says, that's not the way that it's to be with you. He talked about the Good Samaritan and how religious people. It was the religious people that ignored this poor guy who was knocked out on the street, because the religious people had too many important religious things to do. And it was a guy who in the outcast group, the kind of the half-immigrant group of the day, that went over and helped this guy and put him on his donkey and brought him and got him some help. And then later on, Jesus was talking about religious people. And he said, some of you folks, you know, he said, you guys, you care more about what you're wearing to your assembly, wearing to church, And you care more about your bells and whistles and your titles and how you do things. And you're not caring about the needy people of your day. And that's the way that it is. When the big shots are in charge, and Jesus says, there's no place for that in my kingdom. I don't care if it's in your home. I don't care if it's in the church. I don't care if it's at work or play or in your society. He says, that is not how my kingdom runs. He says, it's not that way with you. He said, there's a different way with me when you are subjects of my kingdom, my upside down kingdom. And he says, looks at the boys around the table and he says, here's the way that it is to be. He said, there's a new order in my kingdom. And we remember it with a towel. Because in that day, they would have eaten around a table, laying down on what we might call a couch today. And so their heads would have been at the front of the couch. They would have been leaning over to get the meal. And then their feet would have been on the outside of the circle. And as Jonathan mentioned, it's the servants that would be doing it. I mean, they were a dusty area that they lived in. And, you know, they had to get their feet clean. And so as they're having their meal, the servant would have gone around and would have washed off their feet as a servant who may have been taken against his or her will would do, just because they were the ones who were doing the serving. And if we go over to John's gospel, which Jonathan read a few minutes ago, we see that it was during this meal, it was sometime during this time when they were having their dispute, that Jesus then went to the servant, perhaps, and he got the towel. And he got a bowl. And he poured the water in that bowl. And he said, guys, this is the way it's done. And Jesus took the water and he started with Peter. And we know that Peter said, no, Lord, no, you shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus continued on and maybe went to James. And he went to John. He went around to all 12 of the disciples. And John tells us that it was during this conversation and during this meal that the devil himself had entered into Judas, who was to betray him. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that one of these was about to turn him over, and it was because of him that his life would be taken. And Jesus was washing his feet, serving him in his greatest ways. And Jesus is saying to them, this is the way that it's done, guys. I am among you as one who serves. I'm showing you how it's done. This is how my kingdom operates. Now do it, guys, he says. In my kingdom, the little person, the younger one, the child, is the one that you serve. They're number one. It's not that we do everything that our children want us to do, but we think of our kids' needs before our own. And he says, it's the waiter, it's the servant, it's normally the one that's waiting on you, is the one whose needs that you think about is the one who is being waited upon. It's an upside down kingdom. It's in reverse. He says, we're putting, as Paul said, we're putting others' needs before our own. And so we're thinking, first of all, about the needs of those of husbands of wives, of wives of husbands, of parents of children, of parents of workers, of their employers, of employers, of employees. We're putting others' needs before our own. We don't think of ourselves, first of all. So in a church like ours, we have an unusual situation. We have a lot of older ones. Some have been in Hellam and this area forever. And then the Lord's given us a large bunch of younger ones in their 20s, and we thank the Lord for them. And our older ones, you know, prefer maybe some more traditional ways of doing them, some more traditional singing. And the younger ones are leading our worship team, many of them, and prefer maybe some drums and some guitars, and then there's some others of us that fall in between, and who knows where we land and what our preferences might be. But if we put the others' needs before our own, and again, Jesus brought this up, I didn't. We're looking at the scriptures here. Why should an older one put up with or say, I think it's good that we have some of these instruments? Well, because Jesus said we're putting our needs before. And what about younger ones? Why should younger ones say, oh, maybe that was good a few weeks ago when we didn't have a projector and we had, we pulled out the hymn books and we sang some of the old hymns of the faith? Or how can we do some of these more traditional things? Isn't it because this is an upside-down kingdom and we're thinking about others' needs before our own? Or, you know, a year or two, year and a half ago, whatever it was, we said, you know, we're going to try and do a few things well, and so we're going to bring our kids into our service. And we decided to have a children's message. And this week, I think there were 6 kids sitting in this row. Why should a room full of adults sit there and just listen to a children's message? Is it because we're putting their needs before our own? Or why should a group of children or say of teenagers say, well, why should we listen to this long sermon? Why should we do some of these other things in worship when I would rather just be out there playing around in the lobby? Is it because our children are learning to put the needs of older adults before themselves? You see, there's some very practical things that we're doing here. And it's coming out of because what Christ has called us to do, to put others' needs before our own, to think of others before ourselves. You see, there's plenty for us to do, plenty for us to think about. And like Paul to the Ephesians, we've got enough work to do on our own to start to MYOB. Mind your own beeswax, as we would also say in our home. We got enough to think about on our own to start, so we don't worry about what the other side is doing. If we're younger, we'll be older someday. If we're older, well, we remember what it was like. And there's lots of other places to serve, lots of other relationships where others are just different than us. And Jesus says, this is what I did. Put others' needs before your own. You know, back when George H.W. Bush passed away, there were little stories that came out about him. Did you hear about the child, the compassion, I think it was Compassion or World Vision, that he adopted and corresponded with but didn't say that he was a president? Little boy in the Philippines. And so he adopted him through, I think it was through Compassion International. And he wrote him a letter, and, dear so-and-so, you know, this is George. And here's the President of the United States reaching out to and sending letters back and forth to a little Filipino boy. And the little boy had no idea he was corresponding with the former President of the United States. Why should a former president care about a little boy in the Philippines? Isn't there something Christ-like about that, where he's putting a little boy's needs before his own? Isn't that the kind of thing that Jesus calls us to do? To put others' needs before our own. Let's get rid of the big shot stuff. We're not big shots in the kingdom of God. The only big shot is the one on the throne in heaven. and he gave everything for us. Let's follow his example. Let's be great Jesus way. Let's pick up the towel. And let's love one another. Let's serve one another out of reverence for the greatest servant of all. One of the ways that we serve one another, that we serve others, is thinking about needs, the needs of others in other places. And Scott Himes is going to come now and share with us about his recent trip to the Dominican Republic, where we have a partnership with Mission 2535, a ministry that's in association with the Alliance Churches, and I'm going to ask Scott to come up just now.
Well, I'm excited to share what's going on with Mission 2535 in the Dominican Republic. As many of you know, we have been involved with that ministry since 2014, and it's been a wonderful journey. And I want to thank you for your part in that with prayer, your giving, the Great Commission Fund, which is allowing a portion of that giving to go to Mission 2535 to help that ministry continue to move forward. And so I was there in January with the rest of the board. We hold an annual meeting there once a year on the ground, and then most of our meetings are held via Zoom technology. But we find that it's good to go and serve shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, on the ground as a board, and to really get a feel for the realistic needs in the Dominican Republic. And Mission 2535, for you that are new to this ministry or new here today, I just kind of want to bring you up to speed. So... what is Mission 2535? Its ministry is located in Dominican Republic, Santiago, and we're living out the gospel of Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So there are four pillars of Mission 2535, and that is clean water, health care, education, and food. All the basic needs that we take for granted here in Helen, PA, United States. And these four pillars have been able to improve the quality of life in the Dominican Republic. And excuse me, I'm going to have to turn around because I don't see a screen there. But what you're seeing here is a kind of an aerial shot of the farm. It's not current, but back. So, so one of the new crops is papaya. It was just planted recently. It's behind the factory. And so one of the foods that for sustainability not only provide food to the community, but also provides income to keep the ministry sustainable for cost to run the ministry. This was, we had talked about the trade school over the last few months. And in January 19th was the official opening of the vocational school at the what we used to call the farm is now called the Community of Hope. And so it was an overwhelming response. There was about 150 plus people there. And The enrollment, again, was overwhelming. They currently have 30 students during the morning classes, 54 students in the afternoon classes. So they have a total of 84 students learning math, English, HVAC, and electrical. In March, there's 5 more classes being added. Now, that has created a good problem for Mission 2535. So now we have to build another vocational school because we don't have the room for all these students. And these are people who would not have an opportunity to go to a university or to go to a higher education institute. So Mission 2535 is able to provide the facility. The government provides the instructors free of charge. And so these students are learning some trades, English, some other things that will hopefully help them improve the quality of life with better job. And that's just a shot of the vocational school at completion. Just some students at the desk. And Cisco Corporation has committed to providing computers, at least 200 per year that are refurbished. They've partnered with Mission 25 for that, so every student will leave a program with a refurbished computer. This is some of the furniture that is now being built in the furniture factory. This just started in January. We were able to upgrade the solar grid to provide enough power to the wood shop. And so Pastor Jose Luis from San Francisco, some of you have met him. He is now actively manufacturing furniture. But it's just more than making furniture. He mentors young men who don't know Christ, who don't have a vocation, teaches them how to build furniture. This furniture will be sold. Those proceeds will go to his ministry and to Mission 2535. And while we were there at the in January, this is one of my favorite ministries. How many have been to a landfill? How many of you stood in the middle of a landfill in the garbage? This is one of the most humbling places to be. These people are here every day just looking for the smallest trinket, piece of plastic, piece of metal, something that has value that they can sell. But they're also in need of release from addictions, drug, alcohol, other things, food, clean water. And so we went there as a board and spent part of our day with them, praying over them, praying for their needs, praying for their addictions, alcohol, drugs. Some know Christ, some don't. We take them a meal. Some don't eat it. They take it home to share. It's a sandwich. You see, we were all called to be bigger than ourselves, to do more than just come here on Sundays or to go to work. And I've seen the impossible in the DR. I've seen the impossible in Africa. Things that we could not imagine possible is being done, but it's not being done by man. It's being done by our Father in heaven because we allow him to use us. We serve a God who can make all things possible. This was the most recent house build. There are 4 planned for the first part of the year. As you can see, the top picture is the house. That's not even a good barn, but that's home. That's home. The bottom picture is the final product of the house build. They end up with a concrete floor, shutters, four rooms, a kitchen, running water, a bathroom. And what does it cost to build a house like that in the Dominican Republic? Just under $4,000. So for about $3,900, the mission can build a home. During the course of 2018, Mission 2535 refurbished 15 homes. In 2018, the ministry provided, to date, 1,800 water filters. And you've been part of that. There was a year we took 200 just from Valley View. You helped change 200 lives of families because of clean water. My wife and I were there last March with a team out of Tennessee, a medical team. And we've witnessed young children, because of lack of clean water, something that we waste. I'm perfect example. I drink a half a bottle of water and I dump it out. They don't have clean water. We've seen young children where you could actually feel the parasites in their bellies. We're providing a water filter for $17. It's changing their health. We went back and asked. Only four families are not using water filters. Those are the only four that are not seeing a difference. All the others have noticed a difference in their health. Clean water to wash with, less lesions. Water Day is coming. World Water Day, March 22nd. You have an opportunity. You can go on Mission 2535's website or on Facebook. And I put some brochures out here on the table. And on the back is their information to get to their website. For $17, you can provide a family with clean water. That gives them a bucket and a filter. Mark that on your calendars, March 22nd. This is this is what the future looks like for the Community of Hope. Some things that are coming in 2019. Because of demand for vocational school, construction will begin on the second vocational school, Lord willing, which will sit right here. This is the first one. The other one will sit right here. The other thing that's coming is the housing, which will be for the community center. The housing will be for teams who come. They'll stay at the Community of Hope, which is just outside of Via Tapia. Because the Community of Hope is centrally located in between 15 Alliance churches, Mission 2535 reaches out within those areas like San Francisco, Via Tapia, Zephyriah, and those places. It's closer than in Santiago. So teams will start staying at the Community of Hope. And then the marketplace is I think they're starting the footers for that in the next couple of weeks. The marketplace will be for food. Such as the papaya, the food is being grown at the hydroponics on the Community of Hope. Things like fish, there's 3 large fish ponds with about 5,000 tilapia. Those tilapia are being raised for food. They're being sold. There will be 4 more fish ponds going in this year. There are 7,000 chickens on site as of today for not to eat the chickens, but for eggs. So there's people coming and going every day who buy eggs. And this is just a rendering of what the market will look like. And so you have been part of something big in the Dominican Republic. Even from home, you've been part of something big. Some of you have gone. We have been talking about what's it look like to serve. We have been talking about always be ready, always be investing, always be serving. Are we ready? Are we investing? And are we serving? Karen gave you a list of things that can be done. They might seem minuscule, but we had a teacher who taught us what it looks like to serve. We are supposed to be Christ-like. We should mimic that, even at home. If it means washing the carport, do it. If it means sweeping the sanctuary, do it. Do I like getting up in the attic and working on the air conditioning at my age? No. But it needs to be done. Do it. I get busy. Sometimes I fall into that where work takes over. And then I'm reminded, don't let that happen. Don't ever be too busy to do the Lord's work. Don't miss the opportunity. We have a tremendous opportunity. Time is short. I look at my age now and I look at all the things that I wish I would have awakened earlier in life to who God really was, and I didn't. It wasn't until 10 years or so ago. My first missions trip is what convicted me. He opened my eyes to what it looks like to serve the least of these, right? To humble ourselves. And Jesus was a perfect example of what that looks like. And we all need to do that. We need to answer the calling. Don't let something else take the place of serving. You'll regret it. The gospel tells us that when the word reaches all the ends of the world, the end will come. When is that? I don't know. Does anyone in here know? No. So don't wait. Don't say, I'll do it next week. I'll do the next missions trip next year. It's just not a good time. It's never a good time. Don't make it about finances. Trust me. God will provide. If you say, I will go, he will provide. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it in the Dominican Republic. He will provide. Don't let finances, don't let time, don't let your job get in the way. Serve. There's plenty to be done. So be ready. Be investing. And be serving. Kent and I will be joining Grace Community Church in June. We're going back June 22nd through the 29th to serve in the Dominican Republic again. My wife, unfortunately, can't join us this year. Our daughter gets married in August. And so those who have had a daughter who is doing wedding planning knows what that's all about. And takes time and resources. And so she can't join us this year. But I have put a picture book out on the small table in the lobby. Take a minute, look at it. Some really great pictures in there, some stories in there of what's going on with Mission 2535. And again, be praying not only for Mission 2535, but pray for the Danigers, pray for the Schaefers, the McCombs, those who go unnamed, who are serving all over the world. They need our prayers. They need our help. And so pray for all of them. We get to come home after we serve there, but they stay. So keep them in your prayers. Pray for what God has in store at Mission 2535 this year. Pray that he will provide. He will give the Romanos strength. And he will meet the needs there so that the ministry can keep moving forward and we can reach those who are lost in the DR. Thank you.